Hello, I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and welcome to the In Conversation With series, a series where I speak to notable figures in the realm of financial services. Listen as they share their personal journeys, thoughts on the industry, and advice for aspiring advisors. Today, I am joined by Kara Stander, Managing Director at Investment 2020. So thank you for joining me today, Karis.
Thank you, Kim, for having me.
So if you could let me know about how you got your start in financial services, that would be great.
So, Kim, I started my careers in a slightly unusual way. I'm from South Africa, and I moved to London back in the early 2000s. And I started my career in the rag trade in fashion, which is, of course, completely different. And then by moving to a new country, I found myself quickly and hastily looking for a job, especially as the rand wasn't worth quite as much here in London as it was back home. And really, it was by accident that I rolled and landed up in financial services. And my career, I've taken on various different roles. And I found myself really having a, passionate about and seeing opportunity in looking at helping young people and finding their way into work and seeing this disconnect between financial services firms and how they young people and attract young people into programs and how young people are seeing the industry. And it's really through that that I found my way into where I am today in Investment 2020.
Right. So through that, you also, I saw that you had a period of time where you were working at the FCA. Is that something that also kind of informed what you do now with Investment 2020?
Yes, working at the FCA was a great time in terms of building my skills in the learning and development area. So it was all helping regulated firms and helping people understand the policy, and by pulling together various different training programs so they can access that policy and make it understandable. And that all forms part of what we do in terms of helping people understand and relate to the industry.
Yeah, I can see how that would probably go hand in hand. Could you let me know, could you let us all know how Investment 2020 came about? What was the idea that sparked it and how it's kind of become what it is now?
The Investment 2020 was started about 8 years ago, and primarily by Andrew Formica and also Nicola Pease. And really the idea sitting behind this is that they saw that there was a real opportunity in how do we access young people and get them interested in our industry. And a concern that when they looked at the existing graduate programs, which really were the only entry point into the investment management industry, that the group of people coming in tended to be quite homogenous, albeit really strong candidates, but there wasn't much difference between one candidate and another. And that was largely down to the whole attraction process, but also in terms of how the programs were structured and the skills that were required. And ultimately, it favored one niche and one group of people as opposed to a broad spectrum. And that obviously is a concern because of the lack of diversity sitting within it. And in particular, our founders looked at their investment teams and they thought, goodness, the investment teams were infinitely more diverse, even if they did tend to be men and tended to be white men. They were more diverse in terms of their backgrounds, their experiences, their life experiences. And really a concern there was about the narrowing of the intake and what we needed to do to be able to address that. And that's really how Investment 2020 was born and the concept sitting behind that. And really the whole purpose of Investment 2020 is about driving a forward-thinking, a responsible and inclusive industry, and one that attracts young people, develops them, and also retains them, and young people who come from a diversity of different backgrounds. And so we're about providing those opportunities for people who hadn't previously considered a career in our industry, simply because they didn't know about our industry, because they don't have connections into the industry and networks, which we often find is how people find out about our industries through those networks. But of course, there's an issue there related to equity of opportunity. And we are not benefiting as an industry unless we are able to access those people who haven't come across our industry. You know, we don't benefit from a high street presence like some of our cousins sitting in financial services. So we're all about bridging the gap between employers in our industry and young people.
Yeah, I think that is important because that is also a conversation that is happening with financial advisors. They're talking about how to attract. And I think like something can be gleaned from what you guys are doing at Investment 2020. And so my next question would probably be, what is your approach when it comes to attracting these school leavers? How do you go about doing that?
So we run an extensive outreach program with young people, and we reach deep into communities of young people who hadn't previously considered our career and had no networks in our career. And just to give you an idea of the scale, is in the last 12 months, so from September 2021 to August this year, our outreach team has delivered just shy of 300 outreach events and activities with young people at school, college, university. And of course, with many of these initiatives and interactions that we have with them, we bring along our employers. So we bring along the real people who work in the industry, and they talk, they share a little bit about themselves. It's always very helpful to put people, real people who work in the industry, who can share a little bit about the story sitting behind them. Because sometimes there is a perception that you reach your level of seniority and it's been straightforward and you've always known that you want to be there. But actually, when you start to understand the human qualities that sit behind that, it just makes it all that much more relatable. And then, of course, I call it almost the layers of the onion that we need to unpeel in terms of positioning our industry as one of choice, is that it's starting with what is it that the industry does and how is it of value? Value to people, value to society. And with Generation Z, we know with younger people, they definitely feel quite passionately about society, thank goodness, about our earth and about doing the right thing. And there is a very big story to tell about the role of investment management in wider society. And of course, everybody we speak to is going to be interacting with our industry in some shape or form, because this is about helping them with their own personal wealth and their investment, making sure that they have the money that they need to, especially as we know they're going to be living, goodness, 100, you know, some incredible age. So it's giving that relevance. And when you start unraveling these layers of the onion and then start talking about the different types of jobs, which obviously they can hear about from the real people who work in the industry. And these are fascinating. These are jobs that require different skills. And I really do believe that there is something for everybody, especially as we are seeing less traditional roles become really quite pivotal and essential to our industries, such as those that require tech skills and digital skills, creative skills, and it's really very appealing to young people. So when they pull that all together, they do come away feeling much more fired up and excited that actually this is a meaningful industry and an industry where there is work where they believe they can develop their careers and expand their creative juices.
Yeah, I think that sounds amazing, because, you know, I was a school leaver at one point and I had no idea about, you know, any area of financial services apart from becoming an accountant or you're like working in the high street banks because they're visible to me, but you don't know what goes on in like the city or anything like that. So I think it's really important that it's very important work that you're doing. How can this be beneficial? What is the importance for having the systemic change happening within the industry?
So diversity, equity, and inclusion is really about talent. It's about talent in all of its forms. And it's increasingly a business priority, certainly for our industry and a board level agenda, but it's also increasingly a business priority across many industries. And the benefits of developing diversity of people within the workforce, you know, people who add and complement a company's culture, as opposed to just being a cultural fit, is that we benefit from bringing in a different set of perspectives that still complement who we are as a business and where we're going as a company. And this does enhance opportunities for innovation and also about mitigating against risks, because, of course, you've got more different vistas in terms of being able to spot risks and mitigate against them. And we can't continue to grow and be innovative if we don't have these additional perspectives that are coming from our team. And it's really, really important that all businesses, you know, within our industry, across wider financial services and pan economy, be aligned with our customers, with our different stakeholders. And by having a workforce that better represents the customers that we all serve, it does help make our industries more relatable. Visibility does matter. So it's not just about a group of people who are running these businesses, but actually it's something that we all participate in. And I'd also add to this that, you know, we spoke earlier about younger generations and Generation Z have been more fired up in terms of the expectations than, say, previous generations have on the role of businesses in helping to shape a more responsible society. And they are definitely paying closer scrutiny to how companies live up to their values. Mm. And this includes having a more diverse and inclusive workforce and one that better reflects the people that we serve. So in the longer term, businesses who do build and embed building rather than having a tokenistic approach to creating diversity, but actually embed this inclusivity within their culture, are going to fare much, much better. And it is really important for so many reasons.
Yeah, definitely. And what is the process for someone who kind of comes through, who's a school leaver, who's coming through Investment 2020, and then they get placed? Do you keep monitoring them or keep up with them, or what is that process like?
So for a young person who joins Investment 2020, our role is obviously about expanding our industry and sharing with them, very, very importantly, is where are those accessible entry points? Because just inspiring people is not enough. It's actually about, so what are those accessible entry points? So we signpost to the entry opportunities because it's really important that it is not just about enthusing people to join their industry, but ensuring that there are those accessible entry points where they can enter the industry. And so we have over 60 members who offer training opportunities. And the young people, whether they're coming from school, college, or university, they then join these, they then apply to firms directly as part of training program, and we work with firms to ensure that there is inclusive recruitment approach, because of course this is absolutely core to the principles of Investment 2020. So this is looking broader at potential and not just looking at experience and grades alone. And so what happens is when they join their firm, we then bring them together collectively so they can benefit from the collective networks from trainees in a similar position who are also starting out their career and come together for centrally organized events where they get to hear from senior speakers, start to understand some of the headwinds the industry is facing and where the direction of travel is. And then they also, of course, have more classroom-style training, helping them to build soft skills, understanding the world of work, starting to think about themselves in terms of their brand and be more aware. So we work with them certainly over the course of the next 12 months to make sure that we've got these rich opportunities for them to both network and to build their skills.
Yeah, I think that's great, especially the networking piece. I think I wish that I had some training straight out of university to know what it's like to actually go into a room full of people and be able to feel comfortable enough to, you know, network. I think that's a very important skill that isn't easily taught.
And you know what's wonderful about it is they have a wonderful time doing it, because obviously after the sessions that we run, they have an opportunity to have drinks and to go out afterwards if they like to, and meet each other and also meet the speakers. And they develop friendships, you know, friendships at work. So it's not just people within your own business, but people outside of your business. And we all know how important it is to have those networks. Certainly in terms of my career, those networks have been essential. And as you rightly say, we're not taught this. We kind of, you know, it's, we learn it just as life goes along. But if you really understand the value from an early stage in your career, that will enhance your opportunity for progression.
Yeah, definitely. Networking is very important, especially within financial services, I find. But where do you see Investment 2020 going? What is your vision for the future?
So in terms of our vision for the future, our areas of growth, of course, closely map with the areas of where the industry is growing, where the opportunities for the industry. And we've very much taken an agile approach to adapting where there is most need. And just some of the few areas, I do feel that there is a lot of enthusiasm and passion from the industry to make change when it comes to diversity, equity, inclusion, and talent and culture. But many firms, and you know, they have made great strides forward, but more does need to be done to move from the discussion and the support phase into demonstrable action, where we can collect data, we can see change, and we can demonstrate that there has been change, and actually look at the return on investment in terms of the different programs and initiatives that firms are using. So for us, in terms of our growth, we definitely want to support firms in a much deeper way in being able to make that happen, because small steps can have a great impact in supporting a really quite large change within the industry. And one of the areas, of course, is supporting member firms in terms of really embedding the concept of recruiting for potential rather than just for polish. And we do find a tendency for firms to want to go back to tried and tested recruitment processes where they look at, you know, one in and one out and then replace that person, but actually looking at more from the cultural add rather than the cultural fit. So these are very much a key part of Investment 2020, but this idea can be expanded in a much more holistic way across the whole of the investment industry, and that's not just looking at entry level, but much deeper. And of course, there is more needs to be done in terms of growth across the breadth of the business as a whole. And so we've seen some huge changes within certain teams, but more needs to be done within the investment teams. And in particular, because we know that many CEOs today and senior leadership often start their careers within the investment teams. And it's really important that entry-level talent does have that diversity of intake, because if we want to see the intended change across senior leadership in the future, it's got to happen at the entry point within the investment teams.
Yeah, I think that sounds amazing. I think that definitely sounds like a really good plan. And I feel like eventually there will be those senior leaderships that represent, you know, the population of the UK. So it was fantastic speaking with you, Karis. I really enjoyed this. And I hope that some of this also transfers over to, you know, the financial advisors.
Kim, thank you so much for the opportunity. And yes, I do too. It is such an important area, making sure that people have the advice that they need and that we have young people who are tapping into the advice. So I would love to see this expand within that area.